Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney.
And I'm Shay Northrup.
Today we're going to be talking about gaming, 3D crime scene replication, and spinach. I'm going to toss it off to my host.
So the South Korean team has been crowned 2016 League of Legends World Champions. Now, I don't know if you guys know what League of Legends is, but it's kind of a top-down RTS game where you get like a bunch of... I guess a lot of them are like gods and stuff like that from all these different lores and religions and that sort of thing, and they kind of fight. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of LoL, but I think this is very interesting. So it won a 3-2 victory over a team backed by phone maker Samsung. The South Korean team, five members, shared a prize of $2 million between them. It's pretty crazy. So they have taken the title, and this is the... third time in the last 4 years that they've won this prize. So South Korea, I don't know if you guys have ever played any multiplayer or online games with anybody from South Korea, but they usually own. I know myself, I played a lot of CSGO and a lot of Killing Floor with some South Korean gentlemen, and they're usually the top of the line, best of the best every single time I play.
You know, they're also the ones you hear about the news stories about, you know, doing like 3 or 4 days straight.
Yeah, just plain gaming. This last event was a 6-hour event, and I guess their last match was a 70-minute game, which I think is pretty long for League of Legends. I know League of Legends can go anywhere from, you know, 15 minutes to a couple hours.
That's insane. That's a long freaking time to be... just sitting there gaming.
Well, I don't know if you've done a lot of matches online. If you play a lot of MMOs and you know, you play a lot of multiplayer games online, some of the matches go on for a pretty long time.
Well, I mean, you're talking about player versus environment, right? Because I'm usually a player versus that's usually PvP, player versus player. I'm usually just player versus environment.
Yeah, I know a lot of PvP stuff can last pretty long. It depends on the people you play with, and it depends on who, you know, what game you're playing.
Wow, I just can't imagine playing a game that long.
It's only an hour and 10 minutes.
I still for one match. That's longer than any match I've ever played with anything.
Oh, man, I've had some Halo matches that went on that long.
I've never had a Halo match play that long, especially when Halo won, because usually I'm the one who won.
Oh, we had a problem with that actually yesterday. We were playing me and my roommate just got, like, he just dusted off his old Xbox, and we were playing Halo 2. And one of the maps is really huge, and I think it's the caves or the caverns. And you run really slow in Halo 2. I don't know if you remember that.
I didn't do a whole lot of multiplayer. Pretty much I was a really big fan of Halo 1 and just dabbled a little bit like with multiplayer and the other ones, but just never really got into it as much as I did the first one.
Video games in the early days is you either ran super fast and you couldn't control yourself, or you ran so slow.
Wait. Early days? Is this what you're calling like the 2000-something is early days?
Early days for open world games, I suppose.
Okay, that's forgivable. I'll give you that.
If we want to go all the way back to like Mario and stuff, even then, you know, you had either too fast or too slow.
Even then, there was games before that. You do realize that, right?
Oh yeah, they're the Atari and all
ColecoVision.
Of that.
Just sure.
The movement in Atari is a little bit different.
Well, yes, I just want to make sure that, you know, like
I'm talking about 3D games here.
Okay. I've never played that game. I'm not a big fan of MMOs. I like RPGs, but MMOs just never held my interest. Even the Elder Scrolls one to me just isn't the same.
The Elder Scrolls one's interesting. League of Legends is one of those things, though, that it has captivated audiences around the world, and it's been really popular for a really long time. Like, I'm really surprised how long they've managed to maintain a player base.
And it's free, right?
Yeah, it's completely free to play. I've tried it a few times, and it's just not my cup of tea. If I'm going to play a RTS that's anywhere like this, I liked my Goblin Commander on PlayStation 2.
You're reminding me of another. I wish I looked it up. There's another RPG MMO that has everything to do with ships and collecting and...
Interesting. I know if you ever played Guns of Icarus Online, that's pretty cool. It's like steampunk warships, like
really
balloon ships and that sort of thing. It's really cool. You know, airships. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know about you, but what are you actually looking forward to getting your hands on this upcoming winter?
Honestly, there's not a lot because at least for the Xbox. There hasn't been a lot of good releases. I mean, I've got a couple. Watch Dogs 2 looks interesting. I mean, I played the first one, and it was fun enough that I want to play the second one. But
the one looks like it has a cool protagonist and an interesting story.
I'm just hoping that the one thing I really hate is the Grand Theft Auto driving mechanic.
Yeah.
I hate single stick. I don't think it's as good as using a dual stick mechanic.
You know what had a really good mechanic for driving? The Far Cry games.
I don't remember. I guess they did. I really liked the one in like the Need for Speed games and there's another car game. I really liked that where they had the tools, the dual sticks and you were able to control it that way.
That's what Far Cry was.
And Halo. The first Halo had that.
Yeah. Well, most of the Halo games are pretty good driving mechanics.
Dishonored 2, I'm looking forward to. Part of the game I didn't like, but it's a game that I'd be up to giving another try. The other one is Hitman game. I've been playing the Hitman game since the series actually started back on PC.
I was really mad about this newest update about Hitman because they have been releasing it in segments. And I know they did that with Blood Money, but I waited until they released it all as one package for Blood Money.
I've never... ever been a big fan of episodic gaming. I remember it really starting with Half-Life. And I've been a Half-Life fan literally since it started. I've got the original, like, day one release of it on PC. And it just, you know, it kind of killed it for me. So it'll be interesting to see how I feel about the new Hitman because I literally just did not like it. Because there are the parts of it I like, but I hate waiting, I hate paying, and it's not, you know, the full amount of money. It's still enough that it's like, this is just getting expensive.
Right. I always wait to either get the season pass or wait until it's already all out. And one of the things that I actually really am looking forward to getting my hands on is my Xbox controller for my PC is just about toast. The joystick has been broken by my roommate, and my A button sticks. And I know I can go and clean that stuff out. But I've been really wanting to get my hands on a Steam controller, so I think I'm going to try to get myself one of those. And then I want to get Steam Link.
The controller to me, looks awful. I've never tried one, but by the look of it, it just looks horrible to me.
I've heard a lot of people say that it's one of two things. It's either really hard for them to get over, or they like it so much that they've completely switched over and won't use any other type of controller. The one thing that does kind of suck, though, is they don't really have specific batteries for it. I think they use AA's, and you have to get rechargeable batteries if you really want to like charge them.
Honestly, that's pretty much what the Xbox does. I mean, that's not a bad idea. So I just found that game I was talking about with the huge spaceship battles is Eve Online.
Oh yeah, that game's great.
I've never played it. All I know is apparently you can spend real money in it, if I remember correctly, and it has an actual economy. And there's these giant, like, space battles that people build their own ships and get resources. And it's pretty interesting to follow. I have no idea what the actual gameplay is like because I've never really tried it.
Another one that's supposed to be pretty serious that I actually want to get my hands on at some point is Ark. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
It's like Velociraptors and machine guns. Like, it looks pretty awesome. That's all I really know about it, though.
Interesting. So... Well, we're not talking about video games. Is there any games you wish had multiplayer? Because for me right now, it's still Fallout 4.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. I know people who just wish it had gameplay.
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
Matter of fact, talk about that. Their Twitter account was recently hacked.
I think that if Fallout 4 had multiplayer, I think it would definitely add a different level to it. I would be kind of afraid of running into people too easily, though, because... The map isn't huge in Far Cry or Fallout 4.
Well, I'm thinking more like co-op multiplayer, you know, kind of like Borderlands.
That would be kind of cool. If I do, like, for me, couch co-op, if I do want to play a couch co-op fun multiplayer game, Borderlands is usually my go-to.
And see, I'm generally not a big fan of not having split screen co-op, and I'm thinking, you know, this being full screen co-op, myself and my friend, and
yeah,
and us just rocking it. The only thing is,
there'd have to be a pretty good share loot system. Like, that's the one thing about Fallout. They would have to make it to where, kind of like the whole Borderlands thing, where each person gets their own loot set.
You know, I'm fine with that. Matter of fact, I'd be fine with the first come, first serve. I mean,
I hate that.
Well, at least if you're playing with your friends, but, you know, I'm with you that everybody gets their own share of the loot.
One of the games that really had a problem with that was the PS2 Baldur's Gate. I don't know if you ever played any of the Baldur's Gate games, but the loot share system was just that. It was first come, first serve, and you'd end up with one guy who'd be in rags and the other guy who'd be in, like, full plate armor.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this conversation after the break.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Shay?
Oh, Baldur's Gate. It was one of the best, like, top-down hack-and-slash RPGs that was out there. Like, completely, if you liked Dungeons & Dragons, that was definitely the game
to play.
Because
that was for PS2, right? And computer?
Yes. I believe PC had it as well.
See, I never played it. I'm a big fan of hack-and-slash and sword and sorcery games. One of the reasons I'm a big fan of the Elder Scrolls series.
Well, the thing that really sucked about that game was the save system was all messed up. So, you know how, like, you save in different slots on the PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
Each person gets their own slot. Well, if you saved on the first slot, like, you know, you get in this habit of saving when you play console games where it's just, like, save and you just save to the slot, right? So, usually, like, in most games, if you open up the save menu, it just automatically goes to the slot that you're on.
Yeah.
So if you're on 2, but you've opened up 2, it'll usually stay on 2. Well, this game had a bad habit of going straight to 1.
Oh, no. So
my brother would save over my stuff constantly, and it used to get me really mad because I'd be really close to beating the game, and then I'd have to start all over.
Oh, wow.
I eventually got to the point to where I'd go and save on, like, 99.
But PlayStation had a really weird way of saving anyway. It's just because it had to have a memory card.
Yeah, I actually missed those days. I liked having a portable memory card because then you could just take it to your friend's house.
I know the most annoying thing now is save limitations. I'm one of the guys who just saves no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I'm still playing kind of Deus Ex a little bit. Mankind Divided, and just goofing around. There's a save limitation built into the game. So I have to start deleting it a little bit, And apparently, the other weird thing that I'm kind of annoyed at is every DLC is an individual story. So you start off with, you know, no praxis points, which gives you the different augmentations in the game.
Right.
And then what I have to do is I have to go back, delete some saves so I can go back and save during the DLC. It just is going to drive me bonkers.
Now, I know one of the things that I really like to do, and one of the things that I like about PC is I don't really have to worry about that so much. You do have to worry about disk space, but, I mean, with a terabyte hard drive, you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, no, that's actually the one thing I'm looking for my Xbox. I got to do some research on what type of portable hard drive or external I can get.
Most externals work on Xbox, and you can even use flash drives. I know people who have whole games on their flash drive.
The only thing that really bugs me is I don't want one that's separately powered, which kind of limits the space.
Yeah, that's true.
Because right now, in my home theater setup, I don't have a lot of plugs left over in my distribution centers.
Right.
Because what I do is, years ago, you never heard of a Monster Power Center?
Oh, I know what that is.
I got two of the high-end ones, the ones that actually have the voltmeter.
Mm-hmm.
I found it online. They're $100 a piece, so I got two of them. And so mine are pretty much filled up with stuff.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, guys, if you've never seen them, take a look. They're pretty handy. The one thing I like them for is if you live in an area with questionable power, they massage it, but you can also see the variant in the voltage,
yeah,
which is kind of cool. The other thing is it does trip if it spikes. It's a little hard on my Macintosh computer that's hooked up to it, but so far they've been really great. Mm. So we're going to switch topics a little bit in 3D crime scene replication. Now we've all seen those forensic file show where they take vaguely white big box, and what it does, using lasers, algorithms, and a few other things, it's able to take actual 3D pictures, or no, a 3D environment, I guess, kind of like a video game, where it's taking one-to-one measurements of an entire crime scene. Now, usually this is used in things like parking garages, streets, public buildings, usually things with high traffic volumes where they cannot protect this crime scene for long periods of time. Now, this has been used recently and probably for the last decade or so to actually convict people. Now, the coolest thing about this really is this gives you an ability to walk around a crime scene. You know, say if they're going through photos and they say, hey, what was the distance between this piece of evidence and this? They can actually take measurements within a special computer program that actually allows you to say, okay, it was 5'6". So this is where the bad guy was. And it's a pretty neat kit. I know they're using it in other things for like 3D tours. Say you live in America and you've really wanted to see, I don't know, the Eiffel Tower or something like that. They could scan the entire area and it would actually let you walk around.
That's kind of crazy.
So virtual tourism is another thing I think you could do this with. Now, I haven't been able to find if it's the same technology that they're using in the crime scene as it is for like a virtual tour. I mean, I'm assuming it is.
Right, right.
And you know, imagine that, combine it with today's virtual reality or even, augmented reality.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing what you could do. And I'm a big fan of augmented reality. Now, here's my thought is if you say you scan San Francisco, all of San Francisco. Now, if you use that within a combination of an augmented reality, imagine the history you could find. You could do a one-person tour.
Really, you could. That's kind of awesome. I like the idea of using this technology to solve crimes.
It's pretty interesting. There's been a couple of shows that would basically use that as the device to tell the story. And it's pretty interesting how it works because I've seen pictures of it, and it literally looks... It looks like a video game, but it's actual evidence, actual people. I've seen it pick up, little bits of bullets, and it's actually pretty amazing technology.
So how exactly does this work? Does it just scan the room?
So it looks like what they do is they take scans using lasers for multiple locations. In doing that, they're able to actually combine it into one 3D image.
Interesting.
So generally they say it allows police to examine scenes in detail where witness's statement can be checked against visual evidence. Like I said, that's usually after the case, because crime scenes change, especially if you're in public environment. You want to get to everything as fast as you can so it doesn't change.
Exactly.
So they say with a resolution of a millionth of a millimeter, the scans are able to match tissue damage to an individual weapon. Wow. That's amazing.
That's really crazy. I know that like DNA has done a really like all our stuff with DNA has really done a lot for helping us convict people and solving crimes and that sort of thing. It's hard to imagine a world without it, but it seems like in the future this is going to be the next big thing, and it's going to be hard to imagine a world without that, I'm sure, pretty soon.
Yes and no. I think in any big city, you talk about Los Angeles, maybe Sacramento, New York, Chicago, I think that's going to be the big thing. I can see it probably at some point, figure out how to make a scanning truck type of thing.
I feel like with small towns, though, they don't really need that technology as much. You know what I mean? Like, even DNA is not quite super useful in small town stuff. Usually you just kind of know.
See, I live in a small-ish town, and DNA evidence has been used. I think it's one for cold cases, definitely.
Yeah.
Where the guy was smart enough to save tissues or like a hairbrush with hair in it. DNA has definitely been the cornerstone of forensics, especially in small towns. The laser thing, see, I agree with you. I don't think it's become as common, plus the fact you've got the built-in cost. And unless there's just, for some reason, a massive murder spree or some horrible event inside a small town, I don't see it. In New York, Chicago, and all those places, they're fairly violent cities, so it's probably worth, their weight in gold, especially if they can reproduce a crime scene in a court environment.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure in L.A. this would probably be a huge thing.
Now, the one thing I didn't find, and maybe it's secret or maybe it's just a little bit harder to find, is how many cities actually use this. My personal guess, Los Angeles, probably New York, I guarantee, Chicago, probably the cities with the more violent history or current crime rates probably most use it a lot.
Most definitely Chicago.
I don't know. It's the shows I've seen it, and in the technology behind it is interesting. Like literally, they just mount this camera on a tripod. You know, pretty much hit scan, scans it, and move it around until they get an entire scan of an
area. Sounds kind of like working with Google Maps a little bit.
It does, doesn't? Now the other thing I was wondering is, when you're going through the crime scene, do they do it on a wireframe? Do they fully render it? What type of specs do you need to render this? Or is this something that you send say if you buy this and it gives you access via proxies and all this to a render farm, you send it out, you know, like an hour later, you get a fully digitized crime scene that you can virtually walk around in?
I'm sure it probably takes up quite a render farm for this.
I see. That's one. That's another thing. And the other thing is, imagine being able to do this with the virtual reality. So you can actually physically, instead of looking through a computer with a mouse, you're physically walking the crime scene.
Well, and that would be really cool, too, because I know we're looking for more and more use cases of virtual reality outside of just TV and video games, and I think this would be a perfect use for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I also think virtual tourism would be fun.
I think it'd be fun. There's nothing like being in the place on it. It's like being in an actual place, though.
It's a little bit of a gimmick, but I meant really kind of for schools or people like me who are really big fans of history.
Yeah.
Like, if you could reproduce, I don't know, like D-Day, for example, and just being able to sit and watch and see different things, I think it would have a greater perspective, you know. It'd be like a gaming thing, but I still think it'd be pretty neat.
And it looks like we're coming up on a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about how spinach can be engineered to detect explosives, and we're going to talk about the death of Vine.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
So I guess we got a couple plant-oriented stories for you, so to speak. One of the things that is actually kind of cool right now is that, and this was posted in Nature Materials, the Nature Materials Journal, where they are using plant nanobiotics and nanomaterials to give plants an ability to sense explosives. Now, the thing that what they do is they've used these nanobiotics and these nanomaterials to put sensors in the part of the spinach leaf where photosynthesis occurs, and it's supposed to be able to detect chemicals that are often found in landmines and other explosive compounds. So for this to actually take place, though, the spinach plant has to be rooted in the compounds, and it takes about 10 minutes for it to travel up through the stem and into the area that gives off the signal. So what it actually does is it gives off a fluorescent signal that can be seen from an infrared camera nearby. And if you hook it up to a tiny computer, it can send you an email alerting somebody about the change. Now, although this won't really be such a good use case, now my first thought was when I saw this was, man, we could use this in airports and that sort of thing to detect bombs or anywhere to detect bombs. But since I found out that, you know, it has to be rooted, it doesn't seem like the use case is really all that there.
See, my thought is places that, for one, like minefields. Now, there's thousands and millions of mines out there throughout multiple countries, if not a huge chunk of the countries. Now, I'm thinking if you can do something like that, you know, plant it near where a suspected minefield would be, maybe it would change and say, okay, there's a minefield out there. Now we have to be careful. Or maybe like World War II, like in Germany, there's still unexploded bombs from the overhead bombing that we did. They're still discovering them today.
One of the things that's also kind of interesting is that the use case that the article talks about is that eventually maybe we'll be able to get to the point to where we can use this in other plants, and maybe we could teach plants to warn us about pollutants in the soil and pollutants nearby and that sort of thing. I think that would be kind of interesting?
I'm more interested in the science. I mean, the use case is definitely interesting. I'm wondering if there's compounds, for example, that can't pick up. I mean, does it work on black powder only, Simtex? Are we talking about cordite? I mean,
well, and that's just the thing. I think they're discovering more and more uses for it, and they're going to be testing it more and more. But I like the idea of a world where organic technology is a thing, you know, where we become more organic with our technology.
I guess I'm seeing too many sci-fi movies, and I'll hold my judgment until I actually see it work for a while.
Right. Well, and I think this is a cool idea, a new technology that we haven't uncovered yet. It kind of reminds me of, have you ever watched that movie Aeon Flux?
Yes.
It reminds me of that. Although I'm not a big fan of the movie because the show was way better, I liked the idea of the whole organic mixed with technology that they do in that show.
Oh, no,
I
agree.
In that movie. The show is much more industrial.
Yeah, wait a minute. Aren't you a little young for that? I mean, I remember it when it was on television.
No, I actually watched it a little bit later in life. I watched the movie Aeon Flux, and I was like, this is really cool. Where did this come from? And then I found out that there was a show, and I went and I tracked it all down.
See,
and watched it. And I remember when Liquid Television was on.
See, I was really bummed that she lived at the end of the movie. I mean, no offense, but pretty much every time she ended up biting it. I'm definitely interested to see what happens with the plant-based detectors. I know for me, one of the big problems those detectors have, you know, the last time I flew, I was wearing new pants and, you know, they do the drug swipey thing and it said I had explosive on me. And it's like, wait, what? I haven't been around anything that exploded in a long time. And so if this can make things a little bit more accurate, I mean, I don't exactly want something stuck in me, but we'll see.
That would be kind of cool. Now, another thing plant-related, Vine has just shut down.
And this is Twitter's way of trying to stop hemorrhaging money. If you haven't heard, Twitter is pretty much looking for buyers. They're in a huge crisis right now, which is interesting for something that is so commonly used. I mean, this is like if Facebook said, hey, we're losing money, we're up for sale. And I, as far as I know, Twitter's never made a whole lot of money. I don't even know if they made any off their IPO.
Yeah, no, I don't think they really have.
And Vine is, I'll be honest, I don't really see the use case from it. I think it's 10-second videos. That allows you to edit videos. And this is where things like On Fleek, Damn Daniel, What Are Those? Why the, you know, Are You Lying? Duck Army, stuff like this. So this is like a lot of viral 10-second videos.
Honestly, I kind of like them. I like Vines because YouTube videos get old and annoying after a couple of minutes, especially with some of the people that are super popular. And to the point where, like, they're even, oh, man, who's that girl that has her own show? Haters Back Off. It's terrible. A lot of the stuff on YouTube is terrible. 10-second videos are much more tolerable for me.
Maybe it's just the age thing. I don't see the point of a 10-second video. I mean, I guess if you're going to do viral, if you're doing, like, I don't know, some sort of trick. I honestly don't get it. I was really surprised this made it as big as it did.
A lot of tricks and really short humor stuff. And I think sometimes it's better when people aren't dragging things out for humor. I think 10 seconds means it makes it to where you can make something funny and you're kind of like limited.
And it's definitely a skill, though. Don't get me wrong. Doing long form and short form by itself are very difficult to do well. Very easy to do, but very difficult to do well. I don't get it. I've been wondering from this beginning. Matter of fact, it wasn't only till, I don't know, the last couple of years that I even found a point in using my Twitter account.
Yeah. Mostly I use Twitter account for checking out Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. That's a shameless plug. You should check us out and let us know what you think.
I think it's more of a house ad than a shameless plug. I mean, come on.
I guess.
I mean, shameless plug would be if you had some sort of company that you really liked and, you know, saying, you know, hey, Microsoft, send me a new Xbox type of thing.
Or, you know, hey, Steam, I want to try out
exactly
the Steam controller.
See, that is a shameless plug and begging. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. Any stories you liked? Were we right? Were we wrong? Do you have stories that you'd really love us to talk about and get our spin on? You can find us anywhere and lots of places on the interwebs like Facebook, Twitter,
and GoldenStateMediaConcepts.com.
And there's a ton of great content from this network. And as always, thank you for listening.
listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.